Hello and welcome to the Real Talk Realtor podcast. I'm your host, Nekobari Tor, licensed realtor with Howard Hanna. This podcast is where I have conversations with actual buyers, sellers, and other real estate professionals. In each episode, I will talk with guests about their personal experiences in real estate and give them an opportunity to share their perspective and give advice to help listeners. On today's episode, I have a conversation with Tina Visconti, who is a branch manager at the Howard Hanna Penfield office. We'll talk about some of the things to think about if you're considering a career in real estate. That's kind of how I got started. So Tina, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Tina Visconti. And as Nekobari mentioned, I'm the branch manager at our Penfield office. And so I wanted to take a second to just thank Nekobari for having me today. And I like the intro because he's right. He came to talk to me prior to getting into real estate, which is really a smart move. Just so you know, you should talk to other people before you make that career decision.
Part of what we're going to talk about today is the perceptions of real estate versus the actual reality of actually doing it. And I think that everyone that gets into real estate has, you know, a story or has a reason why they got into real estate. So can you just talk a little bit, Tina, about your journey to real estate?
Sure, absolutely. So I have my undergrad degree in math, which is not real estate related. and when I actually left college and had my bachelor's degree in math, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I started as a buyer at a company. It was a clothing company, actually, at the time. And so I began as a buyer, and through my career, I've worked at different companies and stayed in purchasing for quite some time, but then went into the finance world and also supported a shared services organization at a big company. So my journey to real estate is definitely not a straight journey. It was along a lot of curvy roads to get here, but I always had an interest in real estate. So even through my graduate studies, so I went on and got my business degree at graduate school. I did a project through statistics about estimating values of homes with different parameters. So I always had an interest in real estate in the background and hoped to someday do it, but it the time we needed my income or my benefits at different places of my career. So when the opportunity came, I jumped at it.
You know, I always think, you know, why real estate?
Yeah, so I think with real estate, I felt that it was something that I could connect to. So we'll start with that. I loved houses. I've always loved the process of looking at houses, even as just a consumer. And so I knew I had an interest in it. And I also felt like it's something that you can really help people with, and it's very relatable. And I enjoyed that aspect of it more than anything else.
How long have you been doing real estate?
Yeah, so I began in 2012 as an agent in the spring of 2012. And I was an agent for probably about 5 years before I began to manage in 2017.
You know, what are some of the trends that you saw when you first got into real estate, you know, back in 2012 as an agent? To where you are now as a manager?
Sure. So when I got in the business, there were buyer and seller markets back then, not just always the seller market. So it was a little bit tough. 2012 was a good time to get into real estate because, you know, through the 2008 kind of period, you know, prior to that, the years before that, it was a little bit tougher, I think, of a market. We had foreclosures and other things that were happening. And not so much in our Rochester area, but around the country. And so the market has certainly shifted since the beginning of that. And being an agent in 2020 is very different than being an agent in 2012. I used to worry about listings selling. And, you know, now I'm worried that we're not going to, you know, have enough time to really, you know, do much with that listing when it's out there. It's gone so quickly. So that market has shifted for sure in just that short period of time.
Now, when you got into real estate or you were looking to get into real estate, did you have any perceptions of what real estate would be versus what it actually was when you actually started?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I struggled with, maybe because of my math background, is I want X equals Y. And real estate is not X equals Y, it's X equals depends. So that's probably one of the things coming into it that I didn't realize. There isn't one way to do things. There's several different ways. That's both good and bad. It's good when you have kind of that professional approach to things. I think that you can kind of lead yourself there. And I think for people that struggle with that, it can be a little bit harder because you're really running your own business and making decisions. That's one of the good things about having a manager that's close, because you can run things by them and you won't get the same answer from every manager, but you could at least, you know, ask that question a few different times and see what resonates with you. So that's probably my biggest misconception coming in. I didn't realize there would be so much gray area of, you know, answers to questions on real estate.
I asked that question because when I was looking to get into real estate, I remember having this conversation with my father-in-law, and it's kind of that making that shift in my career. I remember saying, well, you know, it takes X amount of time to be able to get licensed. And then, you know, after that, then, you know, I'll be able to, you know, a closing usually takes like 60 days. So, you know, after I get my license, well, all I need is just 60 days and I'll be, you know, helping people buy and sell a house. So that was kind of my, I guess, perception and not reality getting into it. And once I actually got into it, then I realized that there's a lot more work you have to do before you get to that closing point.
Yeah. And I like to share with new agents and, you know, I'm sure we'll get into this at some point, but I do like to open my book to them to say, you know, that first year in the business, I made $7,000. Really can't live on $7,000, but it's the reality of it. And I think people need to know that before they, you know, jump in with both feet, you know, what you're looking at so that you're prepared.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. Coming from being an agent and stepping into a managerial role, what kind of made you want to take that step in your career?
Yeah. So initially I didn't want to take that step. So it's a great question. when I was approached about it, I kind of resisted a little bit because I liked running my own business. I didn't really want to, you know, work for somebody again, which in management, obviously you're working for other people versus when you're an agent, you're really kind of independent. So as much as I struggled with that decision because of that reason, I also was a different type of agent because I like to help other agents and I like to teach other agents things. I like to help them grow their business, which isn't typical in this business. Most of the time, we're competing with each other. So I knew that I had that that mindset I knew would be helpful, certainly sitting behind the manager's chair. And I think that one of the other things that I always thought about was elevating the business and agents and being more professional. I always wanted everybody around me to be more professional as well. There's, you know, several times that obviously we have interactions with people that aren't very professional in this business. So I sat back and said, if I'm managing, I can impact that even more than just helping the agents at my office. So.
So, you know, stepping into the role of being essentially the branch manager here at the Penfield office, it was your first time managing. You know, how did that feel, or, you know, how did you feel about taking that step?
Yeah, it's a great question, because normally in a company, when you're a manager, you have employees that report to you and you can make them do things. So in real estate, I'm a manager, but I see myself more as a consultant, I guess, versus a manager, because you're all independent contractors. So I'm really just here to help you, whether that's grow your business, retire out of the business, keep it the same, find more balance, work smarter, you know, not harder. I'm really here focused on that individual agent and what can I do to help them progress. And I wasn't sure I ever really wanted to manage, to be honest. I've always enjoyed, you know, managing myself and being accountable to myself. And so taking on that role of managing other people wasn't something that I necessarily wanted to do in a career path, but I've really enjoyed it. So
do you think managers are born, or managing can be taught?
Good question. I think that managing can be taught, but I don't think that leadership can be taught. And to me, there's a difference between those two things. And leadership to me is inspiring people, you know, to do better. I think, you know, a manager in this business can help you through the technical things and, you know, they can certainly help you become successful. But I think leadership is what's required for this job, because you have to, I think you have to treat the branch like your own business and run it like your own business. And that takes leadership, not just a manager.
I never thought of it that way. it's kind of like just like when they say leaders are either born or mm-hmm. taught. In your role as a manager, what expectations do you have for your agents?
Yeah, I think the first expectation out of the gate is that they understand that it really is their business and that mm-hmm. they have to run it like a CEO does. And that's not easy for a lot of people because you, most of the people that get into real estate have worked for somebody else their whole life. And mm-hmm. so, you know, walking in the door and having to run your own business isn't something that's intuitive to most people. So that expectation of running your business is important. And I think the second part of it is to treat it like a business and work hard at it. This job gives you a lot of flexibility. And that, unfortunately, gives you a lot of time to do things the right way or not yeah. the right way. So so having that flexibility in your day has to be, there has to be some structure to that. So my expectation is that person walking in the door creates some type of structure for themselves so that they have a process and something that they're doing every day to grow their business. Mm-hmm. Hope is not a strategy. I say that all the time. So that's my expectation.
Now, in the same token, what expectations can your agents or agents have of their managers?
Yeah, I think time is that first one. I think for any good manager, you have to not only spend time with people, but be available for them. Because mm-hmm. as we know in real estate, your questions sometimes come at 10 o'clock at night if you're right. you know, negotiating something.
I think you're specifically talking about me.
No, I'm specifically talking about every agent. So I think, you know, being available is first and foremost, you know, one of the most important things that managers should be doing. And I think providing opportunities for shadowing, that's another expectation that you should have as a manager, that they're letting you go to appointments or facilitating that if they don't sell themselves, facilitating that with other agents so that you get that shadowing opportunity and exposure to the business, because that's really where you learn the most. Sitting mm-hmm. through a listing presentation with a seller is a lot different than saying, here's what I cover at a listing presentation. You're right. going to see the questions. You're going to see the objections that they might have, and that's a bigger learning. And I think, too, the expectation of a manager, find a manager that's going to treat you like a customer, because mm-hmm. that's really, I think that's the key to it. You want someone that thinks about you every day when they wake up, that's focused on your needs and your wants and is there to try to help you. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% perfect at that, because I'm not. But I think if the intent is always to be helpful and to treat you like my customer, then and you know when you're being treated like a customer. I think everybody right. knows that. So look for that in a manager.
And the same, if you're going to be looking for that in a manager too, how important is it to look for that in a brokerage that you choose too?
Yeah, I agree. Because the manager is only going to have so much, you know, right. influence. The company has to treat you that way as well. And I think that that's an important point. What's great about Howard Hanna is we have all these different branches. So you have that opportunity to have different managers that you're going to resonate with. And I think that it can be harder to see beyond just your manager because you're mm-hmm. at your branch level all the time.
Yeah.
So some people don't get that exposure to the company outside of their manager, which is why I think it's even more critical that the manager is on the ball with treating you like a customer, because that's your interaction every day, not so much the people above your manager.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk a little bit about the importance of the presence of the brokerage you're with or you go with, because it goes back to what you were talking about with leadership, because leadership doesn't start with the manager. You know, it starts with, you know, the company CEOs and just everyone else involved, and that trickles down.
Absolutely.
And being able to have a brokerage or going to a brokerage that has the presence, mm-hmm. that also means you're getting the resources that you need to be able to, you know, get you where you want to be in your business.
Absolutely. It's a business, right? So the more money that a business makes, the more they can do, you know, to help you and to be successful and invest in technology that puts you on the cutting edge of an industry. So it's a very important question to ask about market share, to ask about the size of the company, if you're looking at different companies to join. Mm-hmm. And beyond just taking information from some brokerages, and I can speak to, I've seen slides before where a company will put a bar chart together and they have one of their offices that might have, you know, 200 agents in it in one location, and then they compare it to the one smaller Howard Hanna office that's just in that town. Mm-hmm. That's not a market share, you know, kind of slide, but it's geared to put them in a favorable light. So you'll want to ask that question of what's your market share in Monroe County, for mm-hmm. example, or in the county that you live in, versus the competition. And everybody should come up with the same number of that. So if you're, you know, looking at different firms, those numbers shouldn't vary. They should be able to tell you where their market share is and where they compare against others. And you're right. So the strength of the company is really kind of critical. Even, you know, from a financial aspect, you don't want a company that could fold, you know, right. and the more financially sound that company is, you know, that's better, because you're really creating, even though you're working for yourself, you're branding, you know, towards that right. company. So,
yeah, I completely agree with that. And because from my experience in my limited time being a realtor, it really does matter, you know, the name that has your back, essentially, because whether you're working with buyers or sellers, especially in the kind of market we're in, some of those things are, you know, what makes or breaks deals. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about the fact that if you're working with a smaller company that, you know, that could not be able to sustain with throughout the times. I mean, from 2012 when you started to now, you know, the economy has been very different, and that's what essentially controls our world. Absolutely. So very good point. Now, I want to dive into a little bit and talk about specifically, you know, people looking to get into the business. Mm-hmm. You know, what qualities do you think someone should have who is considering a career in real estate?
I think that the first one is a sense of confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't say fake it till you make it, because I'm not a person that fakes it till I make it. But you have to have that confidence kind of coming in yourself to mm-hmm. be able to kind of create a career from really nothing, right? Mm-hmm. You're coming at this and you know, you don't have any experience coming in. So I think right. confidence is part of it. I think good ethics and being an honest person will take you far in this business as well. Mm-hmm. You certainly, to be successful in real estate, you have to work well with others. And so if you're treating everyone like your customer, and I know I've said that a few times in here, but it's important, even the agents on the other side are really, you know, customers as you're going through a transaction. So I think if you treat people well, you know, and that's just in your human nature to be professional and to treat people the way you want to be treated, I think that's a great attribute.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about qualities, I think about leadership. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, real estate or being a realtor is not a side hustle. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not something that you can just not commit time to it and still get things from it. I mean, right. if you've been an agent that's been in the business for years and years, decades, then, you know, that's a little different. Mm-hmm. But you've put in your time and effort then. I think the number one quality, which you've said time and time again, is just treating it like a business. Mm-hmm. You know, every single day you wake up, just as your manager wakes up and tries to give you the best possible ways or think of the best possible ways to get you to be successful in your business, you have to be thinking, you know, 10 steps ahead. Yeah. You know, because you know the ins and outs of your business and you know what you want to do. You know how you're going to be able to get clients. All of that. And it really just starts with you.
Yeah.
So I think that'll just be the biggest thing for me, is just running it like you are the CEO. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to know Absolutely. Every aspect of what you do, because it all comes back to you.
Yeah. Lead generation is a big part of this business too. And so I think, if you're looking at what are your skills, if you don't have that skill, that's one you need to develop quickly, because mm-hmm. it is about lead generation. And that doesn't have to be cold calling and knocking on doors, but connecting is mm-hmm. really the way that I look at that. Who are you connecting with? And, you know, are you getting outside your comfort zone and, you know, growing that sphere in various ways so that you, you know, potentially have more business? So you have to be comfortable with lead generation.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think just being a people person really helps, because, you know, you just have to be able to just go up to someone and talk to someone. Or, you know, what if someone approaches you and, you know, you're just not a people person. You're just right. Like, oh, get away from me.
But, yeah. You kind of have to like people, right?
You just kind of have to really like people because you have to go to the people. Mm-hmm. One of the things about our business is, you know, we're built on reputation.
Mm-hmm. Listening skills, too, I think are another important thing. You know, you're sitting there and it's great to be able to talk about how great you are as a realtor, but you really want to be able to listen and empathize with people because, you know, they're moving for some reason. And sometimes that's an exciting thing for them. And sometimes it's not, you know, it's based on something sad that might've happened in their life. So I think that ability to have the empathy and to really listen to people is really an important skill too.
You know, there's one more skill that I think, and I think that's just being energetic, bring that passion and energy to your clients to really, especially if you're on the buying side.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're going to get kicked in the shins five times, right? Yes. Trying to put in offers on houses and perhaps not win. So it's great if you have somebody that's going to, you know, keep you excited about the process and keep you engaged in it and helping you see that the light's coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do with the manager because I know I've written contracts many, many a times. And, you know, we talk about it and, you know, you ask me, oh, how did it go? And I was like, oh, we didn't win it. So in order for me to be able to have that energy, I have to be able to get it from somewhere else, you know. And I think a manager who is very involved and has the energy and the positivity and the passion to, you know, give you energy because energy is transferred. You know, if I smile at you, you're more likely to smile back.
That's right.
So I think it really is important to have that, you know, a manager that, you know, can bring that and bring it out of you as well.
Yeah. Seeing the glass half full, right? Yes. And helping you know that even though you just had to write two offers and you didn't win them, look at, you got two more offers that you just got to write.
Right.
So you're even better at it now.
There's always something to learn from.
That's right.
You know, we talked about the qualities or the skills that someone should have if they're looking to pursue a career in real estate. Are there any experiences, either life experience or work experience that if someone has or if they've come across that would, you know, get them in a good standing to consider real estate?
Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of people walk in the door and we can kind of see, we can tell from that conversation and based on what their past roles have been, it gives us a little bit more comfort level probably with where they're headed. For example, teachers make excellent real estate agents because they're used to teaching, they're used to explaining, and that's a big part of our job is consulting and explaining. So if you've had any kind of teaching, and that doesn't have to be in a classroom, but even if it at the firm you work in, if you do training sessions, anytime that you're in a role where you have to kind of break things down and explain it to simplify it, that's great. That's great experience coming in the door. I think, too, customer service in any capacity is an excellent thing to have in your hip pocket because you'll be able to draw from, you know, dealing with all different types of people, which in this business we know we have to deal with people we enjoy spending time with and maybe sometimes don't. So, you know, you really have to be able to work with various kinds of people and get through that in a smooth way as well. And I think too, coming into real estate analysis is a kind of important aspect of your job to be able to look at data and understand data. It doesn't mean you have to be a statistician, but you have to at least understand data enough to be comfortable to present facts and figures to people. And if you're not, you have to make sure that you're connected to somebody in the business that can help you through that if that's not a strength that you have. I would also say that sales is not necessarily required, sales experience coming in the door. I had never been a salesperson from a technical standpoint, but I worked at companies where people didn't necessarily have to use me. So, you know, I had to sell myself to them, you know, in whatever capacity or function I was working on in that job. So we all probably have some degree of sales in us that we don't even recognize until, you know, until maybe it's pointed out. Even being a parent, you're a negotiator. Your kids are negotiators. So we all have negotiation skills, even if you've never had a job negotiating. I think every job that you've had will lend itself to being able, you can adapt and use that skill set in some way, you know, from a real estate perspective and really mainly because you're drawing on so many different experiences as an agent. You're not just a salesperson. You are a consultant. You are a friend.
Right.
You're a counselor. Mm-hmm. You're a psychiatrist sometimes. So, you know, you have a lot of different things that you can draw on.
Yeah. That psychiatrist one is very, very real. What are some questions that someone who is looking to get into real estate should be asking when they're interviewing brokerages?
Great question. So I do this a lot, obviously, meeting with different people. And I love it when I'm the first person they're meeting with, because mm-hmm. I can at least tell them the questions they should ask. When I'm the last one and I, you know, talk about different things with them, they're like, oh, nobody else talked about that, or I didn't think to ask that. So I think one is the size of the company, the support mm-hmm. of the company. Understanding that is a really important first step. And then the second one is, what kind of training will I get coming into your company? And that can be external kind of training sources. Like, we have an academy that's a place that you go to for classes. But even in the branch, what's the in-branch training going to look like? What is the time with you going to look like if you, mm-hmm. you know, are coming into a branch? And the one that probably most people don't think about on the outside is, what's the culture of the branch? Every branch is kind of its own little company. So I would ask that question around culture. Yeah. And, you know, is it a caring environment? Is it, are the agents super competitive with each other?
Right. Is it kind of like that sales floor, mm-hmm. Wolf of Wall right. Street type?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that is a great question. And I love answering that question, because we do have a great team at our branch. So so I think that you should be asking about culture, because this is the place that you're going to work at. And right. as we all know, our environment that we work in is, you know, just as important as the job. So,
mm-hmm. you know, adding to that, I think a lot of people that are looking to get into real estate, you know, perhaps might be hesitant, because either if it's a buyer's market, it's a seller's market, or how our economy is doing right now, handling things with COVID, you know, when is the right time, or is there a right time mm-hmm. to be able to get into real estate?
It's a good question. So I like to talk to people before they've actually gotten their license, and then they come meet with you, which happens commonly, actually. People decide they're going to become a real estate agent. They go, they take the course, they get licensed, and now they're ready to sign on with a brokerage. So, for me, that initial conversation when they haven't gone down that path yet is helping them figure out what's the right time. And part of that is, are they financially ready to jump in? Are they going to be working someplace else, you know, before they jump in with 2 feet with real estate? Are they positioned to go ahead and jump in with 2 feet? When I started, we were able to rely on my husband's salary at that time. So that took that pressure off of, you know, selling 1,000 houses to be able to put food on the table. So,
by the way, if you sold 1,000 houses, you would be doing yes, great.
Yeah, you'd put a lot of food on the table. So, so I think, you know, timing is very, very personal to your situation. Right. And you have to be ready to not make income for a little while to mm-hmm. To be able to live on your savings, or to live on your spouse's, if you have a spouse or a partner or somebody that you live with, or even your parents. So it really just depends on your living situation mm-hmm. and your spending situation. But I would say that, to me, it's just really all about where you're at in life and how quickly do you see yourself kind of getting up and running at this to be able to support, you know, whatever your needs are, whatever mm-hmm. that looks like. So
that's a great point. I was just thinking in my head, is there a right time in your life? You know, whether you're coming from high school, college, like, you know, you're retired, probably when would be the best time?
That's a great question, because I think we see all of it in this business. So right. there isn't really a right time. I think it's when you're ready to do it is what's more important than how old you are, or what, you know, what the level of experience is. So we have people that come in literally right after high school, and they can be very successful. They're focused on it. They're driven. Mm-hmm. Driven is very important. And, you know, we have some people that do it while they do another career. So we call them dual careers. So they're trying to accomplish both at the same time. We have some people that do it when they're retired. So it really just depends on the individual and, what timing makes the most sense for them in their life, and when they're really ready to dive in and take the bull by the horns.
Right. And when you said you have people that do it, you know, on their own time, having dual careers, you're talking about agents who do real estate part-time and yeah. also have another job. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to rate this podcast and subscribe. If you'd like to feature on the Real Talk Realtor podcast, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. My name is Nekabari Tor, the Realtor, and I'll see you in the next one.